broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
The superintendent of the Maple Shade School District says it's all a misunderstanding and tells me,
quote, "We are not condoning Mr. Roethlisberger's actions that night, but we do not prosecute
this more." November, what do you say? Let's take back our country!
I can understand a little bit, but I don't think they should make it go so far. That's just
why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Bobby Dooley joins us this hour to discuss her son pursuing a job in the motion picture Kick-Ass 2. And that ought to be interesting because this is a film that has garnered a great deal of, well, it's a great deal of interest. And it is it's a different kind of a superhero film. This film, a satirical superhero movie called Kick-Ass, is from Lionsgate. It's expected to bring in about $30 million this weekend as it debuts in the United States and Canada. Lionsgate looks as if it'll kick butt at the box office, according to the LA Times. This independent studio Friday will release its satirical superhero film Kick-Ass. Now, there's going to be a sequel, from what I understand, and we're going to be talking to Bobby about that in just a moment, and her son, the possible role of her son in that movie. People who've seen pre-release audience surveys said it should sell roughly $30 million worth of tickets in the U.S. and Canada through Sunday. It stars Nicolas Cage in the film. And it's about, along with mostly a young cast, it's long been generating interest among young males who've been excited since buzz started at the fanboy conventions. And, of course, I'm digging through this news story to find out what the movie's about, and it doesn't say. So, anyway, let's take a look here now at what Nicolas Cage has to say about it.
All the people involved are not genuinely blessed with superpowers. All they have, really, is either their madness or their guts to do this. I think that's what sets it apart. From the other superhero films we've seen. It gives it kind of a fresh edge.
Aaron Johnson, who plays the superhero Kick-Ass, and Chloe Grace Moretz, who plays Hit Girl, talk to reporters.
Just really, really excited about this movie, and and that's what you get from it. Really, just great vibe about it, good energy. So I'm excited.
It's amazing. I mean, there's so much hype around it, and I know it'll live up to the standards, above and beyond the standards.
We find out now it's about a group of kids at Nicolas Cage who become their own superheroes to fight crime, whatever that means. On the line with us is Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Bob, can you tell me what it's about, Bobby?
Well, the first movie, yeah. And also Kick-Ass 2, which is going to have, there'll be a hit boy. He will be the sidekick to Kick-Ass, who is the superhero. But basically, these are really nerdy high school kids, from what I understand. And they become superheroes in their own minds, and they go out and do these things. It's really a very clever script. They're very fortunate to have Nicolas Cage in it. They're very, very fortunate to have, I think, a good cast. My son, Seth, is slated to, is slated to be one of the top contenders for the role of Hit Boy.
Now, who is Hit Girl is in the new one?
Yeah, Hit Girl is one of the characters in Kick-Ass, which is the movie that's out right now, about these high school kids who become superheroes. And then Hit Boy is about the next generation of film. It's the sequel.
Now, your son, Seth Dooley, is how old is he?
He's 11. So he's right in the wheelhouse of this character. And we're very, very excited about his prospects because we do have Roger Kern interested in him. Roger Kern is one of the top managers of young actors, of teenage and adolescent actors in Hollywood. He's very well connected to a great many agents. And we are so excited, really, to have the opportunity to be represented by Mr. Gard.
Now, people may not know that the difference between a manager and an agent. What is that?
Well, a manager is someone who is the general manager of a career, but he is not legally allowed to solicit jobs.
Only agents can do that.
Only agents are allowed to actually go out and find the job. It's much like, I suppose, in England, they have barristers and they have, I forget what it's called.
Well, they have a barrister and they have then the actual lawyer, I think. So there's somebody who goes out and finds the lawyer for you. They have a kind of a double there. But I understand what you're talking about. So this guy, Mr. Roger Carnes is his name?
Yes. He is.
Well, the very best of luck with him. Now, you also have, but you don't have an agent. So you don't really know whether your son's gotten the job.
Well, no, but we do know that with Roger on our side, he is very, very sure of one thing. Seth's going to get cast in the film either as Hit-Boy or as one of the principals. There are two or three other principal parts that they're casting. It's a very, very exciting, I think it's a very exciting movie. Because as you mentioned, Phil, there's going to be a lot of buzz about the movie, and there's going to be a lot of money at the box office. But the other thing that I think is really exciting about it is the fact that this is the opportunity of a lifetime for my son, being with a manager like Roger Carnes. And you know, we were told, and I recognize that, you know, there's good and there's bad in everything. That he has a reputation.
Mr. Carnes does?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he is he's very, very dynamic. He's very, very energetic. He has been, there have been rumors, and I don't know if they're true, that he has been inappropriate with some of the young actors that he's worked with. But that is something that you roll the dice with, because it's very rare for a film that is this big for a first-time young actor like Seth, who's never really done anything other than what he's done in middle school plays and some showcases that we had him in, to get interest from a manager like this is very rare. And then to be on the fast track to being in the film.
Well, wait, I mean, you just said a whole bunch of stuff there, though, you know.
No, I know that, Phil.
Well, when you say that your son, with this guy, this Carnes, has been known to be inappropriate.
Well, he's been known to have, I guess, he said some inappropriate things. He might have done some inappropriate things with some of the young actors. But he is a legend, really, among young actors, and really has a great way of putting their careers.
Look, I can't let you go any further. When you talk about your own son,
well, Phil, I know what's best for my son. I really do.
No, I understand that. Can I ask you a few questions?
Well, I really don't want to be beaten over the head with this. I said what I said about Roger just to let you know that we know our eyes are open. We know it's a roll of the dice. If it comes up snake eyes, then I guess Roger got inappropriate with Seth, and we'll deal with it. But if it comes up sevens, it's Oscar time.
And you're going to deal with it. You're talking about a guy who you said...
I said a couple of things about Roger.
All right, you said he's very well connected. He works well with young actors. He's really good. But on the flip side, he's been inappropriate.
He has said some things. He's put his hands, etc., etc. I'm a woman. So believe me when I tell you I know all about that.
Yeah, but your son doesn't know all about that.
My son will... We're going to let Seth in on what he needs to be let in on. Phil, I protect my son, believe me. But this man, Mr. Carnes, has been known, you know, to get a little... I guess the word is he gets creative.
Well, I don't know what that means, he gets creative. What does he do?
He gets inappropriate. I don't know.
Well, what does he do? I mean, do you know what he does? Has he touched people?
He said some things. He's put his hand places. This is.
And you're the boy's mother, and you willingly let him in to this kind of environment.
Phil, hold on for just a minute. I protect my son.
All right, if you protect your son, then why would you let your son be represented by an individual like this?
Because, Phil, life is a crapshoot. I don't know where you were raised or how you, view life, but I've taught my children, and Steve and I both tell our kids, life is a crapshoot. If it comes up snake eyes, then someone has touched you. But if it comes up sevens, it's Oscar time.
And yeah, Ms. Dooley, you said that already about...
Excuse me?
You said that already about it's Oscar time. And
I'm trying to get this point home to you. I'm the mother of this child. I wouldn't let anything happen to my boy. I would kill anyone that did anything to my boy. But if Roger Carnes gets my boy into this movie, and, all right, I'll play your game, all right? I'll play your game. We're in your pool, it's your rule, all right?
Okay.
And I find out that he squeezed Seth on his rear end, or he patted him on the butt the way they do in football, I'm not going to get crazy about that.
All right, well, you know, when they pat each other on the butt in football, that's not the same thing as squeezing somebody.
If that is all it is, I'm not getting crazy about it. And we'll cross the other bridges when we get to them.
Well, Bobby, you know, it's your son.
Well, we'll cross those bridges when we get to it.
No, I know you will, but I mean, it's your son, and you want him to be in this movie, and you got this manager who's on the fast track to getting your kid in this movie, but he's got a reputation for being inappropriate around kids. I think that's a red flag, okay?
A reputation? He's never been arrested. And I think that is on the plus side.
Well, you know what? If you're picking managers, theatrical managers...
Phil, it's really as far as I want to go with this.
If you're picking managers based upon whether they've been arrested or not...
This is as far as I want to go with it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and...
Ms. Dooley, she wants to talk to you.
Yes?
I just heard you give your phone number out, and I don't know why you're doing that. I told you that...
I'm giving the phone number out. Can we kill the music for a minute? I'm giving the phone number out because I want my audience to check in.
I told you that this is as far as I want to go with it.
Are you telling me you don't want to take calls?
Not if I'm going to be taking calls from individuals whose children are not in film, who don't understand how show business works.
Yeah, but they may be mothers, they may be fathers.
I told you already.
Well, do you mind if I give my number out anyway and I can talk to them? Ms. Dooley? 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association and Parent Teacher Organization. Apparently her son, Seth, is up for a part in this Kick-Ass 2 with a manager whose reputation is such that he, he's been inappropriate with some of the kids, but she thinks it's a chance she's willing to take. Is that a chance you're willing to take for your kid to become an internationally famous movie star? 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be back with Bobby Dooley in a moment.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. You know, as you say, Bobby, you can do anything you want. He is your son, but I find it, if you don't mind, if I were the parent, I would be very, very wary.
You understand, Phil, when I talk about what Seth has the opportunity of doing.
I know he's going to be in a movie.
All right, but I don't know that you understand. This boy's life can be taken care of for the rest of his life if he scores with a film like this.
Are you willing to have your son... I'm going to say this. Are you willing... I can't imagine you're willing to have your son molested so he gets to know a movie.
God Almighty no, and I'm so offended by that.
You understand my wife and I.
All right, I had to ask that.
Of course I'm not. Of course I'm not.
All right. And yet you know that this guy that is going to manage your son has been known to be inappropriate.
Inappropriate from the standpoint of saying things, okay? From the standpoint of saying things. I don't think that it's going to kill Seth if this guy, Mr. Carnes, makes a comment on how good he looks in a pair of pants.
So this guy is going to be able to make these comments to your son.
But brother, you understand, he's not touching him or anything. He's just talking about his pants.
He's just talking about the way his pants fit.
How old is this man?
Who?
This guy Carnes.
Steve, you?
61.
He's 61.
61, and he's talking to your son about how good he looks in pants?
Still, you know what? There's an old saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. When I was a girl, guys looked at me, okay? I worked in restaurants. I worked as a cocktail waitress. I worked in a couple of bars. I danced. Guys looked at me. They didn't touch me, but they said things. And I can tell you that if I survived that, my son can survive it.
That is highly inappropriate for a 61-year-old man to be talking about how cute or how hot an 11-year-old boy is.
Yeah, it's not even touching. He's talking about pants.
He's talking about the fit of the pant.
The fit of the what?
The pant.
The pant, the finger of the pant.
The fit of the pants?
No, the fit of the pant, the singular pant.
Yeah, the pant leg.
He's talking about the fit of the pant leg. I don't understand that.
Roger Carn is talking about if he was to make an inappropriate comment to Seth, he'd be saying either one or the other of those pant legs looks sexy. That's how he views those things.
Yeah, he's a fan of his pant legs.
Well, I don't know about that, okay? I mean, that sounds even weirder.
Why's that?
Well, he's talking about a kid, and then he's talking about his pant leg? I don't understand that. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We got Julio in Los Angeles. Julio, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good evening, Phil. I'd like to say,
yes,
you know, first of all, this woman talks out of both sides of her mouth. She talks about morality on one hand, and then allowing some 61-year-old pedophile to be making these remarks about her 11-year-old son. I mean, I know I've listened to Bobby Dooley before. I know she's a woman with no morals and no class and probably looks like a freight train hitter. But the bottom line is that, you know...
What do you look like?
What do I look like? I'm 6'7", mm-hmm. 265 mm-hmm. pounds, 10% body fat, half Indian, half Irish, and built like a Greek god. But that notwithstanding, and I wouldn't look at you if you were the last woman on earth. But your son needs to be taken away from you because you are a puerco. And in Spanish, that means pig. You are a puerco because
talk about my wife, pig.
I bet you're really good at insulting women, aren't you? How do you treat the women in your life? Do you talk to them this way?
I have six daughters, and I have a beautiful wife. I treat them like ladies because my daughters would never be exposed to that kind of degenerate pervert.
Did you say that you're 6'7"?
Yes.
And you said you're 165 pounds.
265.
No, you said 165.
No, he said 265. 165, he'd be built like a freaking string bean.
I'd look like your husband.
I heard him say that, too.
Yeah, your husband's 5'6" and weighs 110 pounds. But neither...
110 pounds is one part.
All right, would you just get your husband away from the phone, please?
Yep, the bottom line
is... Man, first of all, my son...
What
this
kind of woman
jealous.
Would do this?
You're
what kind
jealous.
Of woman would allow her son to be around pedophiles? You are a sick individual. You need to be locked
up.
I'm
telling you, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for my son to be in a film that can make his financial status for the rest of his life.
There's an old guy talking to your son about how he looks in his pants.
Yeah, okay? That's exactly right, Bill.
Is he putting his hands on him? No.
Hey, you know what? At LAX,
he's talking about his pants.
Every day, there's girls come in from all over the country. I used to work in the modeling industry, and they come in and they land in the airport, and these guys come up and say, "Oh, we can get you in the movies," and blah blah blah. And 3 months, they're making porn. I know those kind of people, and you
Excuse
are a dirtbag.
Excuse me, but
you
no,
need to
this
be locked
not,
up.
No,
and your husband
no.
needs a beating. In Spanish, we call it chingazos, throwing chingazos.
Yeah, you know what? You and what Mexican army?
All right, okay. Thanks very much. We got to take a break, though. 877-876 Phil, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Will be back with more from Bobby Dooley.
Maybe.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL and our website, philhenryshow.com, so you can check out a live streaming video of the show, video and audio of the show right now. On our website, Bobby Dooley is the president of the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization, as well as the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Her husband, Steve, is with us tonight. And they're talking about a film, a sequel now to a film that is anticipated to make a lot of money this weekend, a film called Kick-Ass, starring Nicolas Cage, that your son, Bobby, and congratulations that he would garner the interest of a big Hollywood agent. But you say to me, this man, Roger Carnes, has been known to be inappropriate. Has he ever been arrested?
You know, Phil, I think really what is this entire half hour...
No, just has he ever been arrested?
This entire half hour that we've been on has been an attempt to malign and a question a mother's motives for her son. No, to answer your question, Mr. Carnes has never been arrested. The word on the street is that he likes to look at young boys. If you want me to be graphic, he likes... What did he say, Steve?
Like young ass.
Oh, isn't that just great?
You know what? You get...
It's almost funny, Mr. Henry, when you get old.
It really is kind of funny to listen to you get all Victorian. It really is.
Oh, am I being Victorian? I mean, we're talking... You know the problems that we have with children who are at risk all the time? You know the problems with kids who have been victimized?
I know all of those problems. We're not talking about a man other than this man, Roger Karn. He's a silly old queen...
So now he's gay, huh? Is that it?
Well, I don't know, but he's still the old man.
And he likes young rear end. And why is it that I'm supposed to get panicked about that?
Because your son is going to be represented by the guy. That's why. Do you have this number?
I got it right here.
We're going to get this guy on the line, if you don't mind.
You can do anything you want. I'd love to talk to Roger.
You all right, we're going to get him on the phone. We'll take a phone call and then get this man Carnes on the line. Let's go to Michael in Buffalo, New York tonight. Michael, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I live in Buffalo now, but I used to live and work in Los Angeles from 1970 through 1995. I know something about the entertainment business and the modeling business, and I think the only way for a parent to protect her children would be to keep them in the house until they're 30, because unfortunately... Mm-hmm. Especially in the entertainment business and in modeling, there are a lot of so-called boy lovers in Hollywood and in the entertainment business, in modeling. It's a euphemism. Boy love is a euphemism for pedophilia. The people like Roger Barnes or whatever his name is, they're in the majority in that business.
His name is Roger Carnes.
Or Roger Klein.
Roger Carnes. Are you saying that he's into boy love?
Yeah, he likes to look at young males, and they call themselves boy lovers when they're on the internet to each other.
Oh, well, these guys are criminals. These guys are criminals, then.
Yeah, well, they don't call each other criminals. They don't call each other sex predators, but that's what they are. You know,
Michael, hold on for just a minute, because I've got Mr. Carnes on line four. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mr. Carnes?
Yes, Roger Carnes.
Well, I don't know if you've been listening to any of this interview. I have a caller, Michael, from Buffalo, New York. We have Ms. Dooley.
Yes, Bobby. How are you?
I'm great, Roger.
Well, sir, we've been talking about you.
No, I know that. I know you've been talking about me. And I've heard most of what's been said.
Well, is it true?
You're asking me, am I a pedophile?
Yeah, well, I'm asking you, are you inappropriate with young people?
I don't believe that I am, no.
Are you a boy lover?
Am I what?
Boy lover.
Am I a boy lover?
The word on the internet, the euphemistic language used is boy love or boy lover.
boy love, if I could clarify,
the Greek sense of the word, in the Greek sense of the word.
In the Greek sense of the word, whether it be a boy love or pant love, is an idolatry. It is an ideal. It is to raise up, or otherwise, if you will, place on a pedestal, an ideal, which is that of beauty.
That's
right.
Exactly what I was trying to say to them, Roger.
No, wait. Hold on for a minute. What I think Michael is trying to find out, and I'm trying to find out, are you inappropriate with these kids? Do you touch them?
Do I touch what? I don't,
do you touch male. Kids?
Young man.
I am, only for the sense of trying to get, if I'm working with them as actors, is that what you're trying to say?
No, inappropriately touching them.
I am far too busy. Do I admire them from afar? Yes.
7-6 Phil.
I hope you bleep it.
Yes, did you bleep that, Phil?
Yeah, we bleep. No, we don't bleep it. We dumped out of it, okay?
That's the most outrageous thing that I've ever heard. Although, if it's true, I would hope that people would give me a little bit of leeway.
Well, Roger, first of all, I want to thank you for what you've done, Seth. But my question is this for Roger, if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
Have you looked at Seth's pant?
Oh, I looked at Seth's pant. Well, yes.
But have you thought of anything bad?
I just want to know if you look at my Seth's pant.
You have to understand, first of all, Mr. Henry, as a manager...
And by the way, I'm recognizing your voice.
You recognize my voice what?
What do you mean you recognize his voice?
Because, are you Herb Sewell?
Herb Sewell, Roger Kahn, what's the difference?
Well, there's a big difference. You're Herb Sewell...
What do you mean Herb Sewell?
You're Herb Sewell, the guy that was in Atascadero in the psychiatric forensic hospital... for all manner of sexual crimes against kids and women. Isn't that right?
Well, now, let's not be too hasty.
What are you talking about, Mr. Henry?
I'm telling you that I've had this guy on my show before. He's an admitted sex criminal, and many of those crimes he's committed against children.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about my son, Jeff.
Steve, I'll do it.
Let me, for one moment, defend myself. Mr. Henry... My name is Herb Sewell, yes, but it's also Roger Carnes. And while, yes, I've been in Atascadero, and I was subjected to electroshock as well as insulin shock and a variety of other therapeutic treatments, I'm also a theatrical manager in Hollywood dealing with adolescent actors, and I have a great many connections with talent agents. So I'm two pedophiles in one. That's a little bit of a joke. You'd have to know the Doubleman commercial.
You know what, Herb? You may find this very, very amusing, but I've got two parents on the line here, Ms. Dooley and Mr. Dooley.
Oh, don't give me that. I can see the greenbacks flashing in their eyes.
Oh, how dare you. I wouldn't want you to do anything to my son. I am very, very disappointed that you are not who you say you are. And I will tell you that unless you get my son into a reading... and that is for the producers only, and not just for the casting director, I can assure you we'll have nothing more to do with you. Thank you, and a very pleasant good evening to both of you. And may you burn particularly hot in hell, Mr. Sewell. Or is it Mr. Carnes?
It's Carnes or Sewell. And if I got you...
Well, she hung up.
Well, how do you like that for sour grape? That bitch, excuse my language, came into my office with this ragamuffin...
What do you mean your office? What are you setting up here, man? What have you got? Some theatrical agency office? Some phony baloney office?
Yes, I share it with Steven Spielberg, the guy that...
All right.
Did he hang up on Ford?
I don't want him going off on Steven Spielberg, okay? God knows what's going to come out of his mouth after that. Anyway, good luck with the movie. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up. Depressed people are more likely to smoke cigarettes than the stories we couldn't get to. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Bill Henry. This is the world famous Bill Henry Show.
All right, well, the document that my producer sent me won't open, so send it again, will you? 877-876-PHIL. The story that we have here is, and we're trying to get it, you're sending me the same document, brother, and the same thing's going to happen. It ain't going to open. Basically, what we're trying to get here is a story about CNN suing a citizen reporter because he says he works for CNN. Now, you know what a, when they say citizen reporter, what they mean is one of these iReporters. Now, this is a very fascinating case for me, and it has to do with something that I know intimately, inside and out, and that is the broadcasting business. And what I have to say about the broadcasting business, well, it may not be gospel for a lot of people, but I can assure you that what I say is true. And you can do whatever you want with the information, but it is absolutely true. It's one of the few businesses where a layman like myself is as bright, if not brighter, than any lawyer that deals with communication law. Because lawyers in the broadcast business, communication law lawyers, they don't even know what the hell it is they're talking about from one day to the next, because the FCC tries to keep everything so secret and quiet, you know. But basically, CNN wants to sue this person because they called themselves a reporter for CNN. Now, why did they do that? Because CNN asks for, just as Fox does, they ask for the reports of people. They ask for people to send them their videotape. They ask for people to send them information on news stories that they might have or that they might be able to gather. In other words, what CNN tries to do is they try to get people to work for them for free. That's essentially what the iReporter is. That's what the uReporter is. You work for us for free. And what do you get in exchange for that? Wow, we'll mention your name and say that you're just all that and a pound of pork rinds on top of it, man. You're something else. Now, frankly, a lot of this videotape that people send into CNN and into Fox is next to worthless, but a lot of it's very valuable. A lot of it is worth a lot of money. A lot of it is played over and over and over again. You've seen it. A lot of it is repeated on other channels. Other channels will run that footage, dependent upon the agreement they have with CNN. Generally, if you simply attribute the originating network or the originating source, that's all you need to do. So if, for instance, I work for ABC, but I'm using a piece of tape that CNN had, I put in the corner there, I use the CNN logo, tape courtesy of. You've seen that a million times. And generally, that's what they want. That's if there's good relations between the two agencies. Many times when relations are really bad, and they are bad at times, they won't even allow you to use their stuff. They'll say, you are not allowed to use anything from our network, period. Now, isn't that a bold statement to make? Isn't that a bold statement to make when you are using videotape that was cut or edited or recorded by some iReporter out there that you ain't even paying, you cheap creeps? Cheap and lazy on top of it. You're so freaking lazy. Not to mention you guys don't have any kind of a nose for news. You wouldn't be able to sniff out news if it smelled like your own armpits. You got the iReporters out there, and the uReporters, and the MeReporter, and the WeReporter, and the ThemReporters, and they're going to send in the news stories that they see for free, and you're going to run them on your network, and maybe even share them with other networks, and you're going to garner the advertising dollars that come with an interesting news story, and obviously an upped audience participation and viewership, and in the meantime, the guy that actually recorded that thing, what are you giving him, man? A mention saying thanks to Joe Blow in Cleveland for making this videotape. Well, that guy wanted a little something more. Guess what he wanted? He wanted to be told that he worked for CNN. As far as I'm concerned, this citizen, were I sitting on the jury, I'd rule in his favor. Yes, he does. He works for CNN. Well, no, he doesn't. It's very clear. What's clear, man? Do you have a written statement or a written document? You're asking for people to send you stuff. You're soliciting. You're openly soliciting. People are not submitting these things unsolicited. People are not just sending it in and saying, oh, I hope. They are responding to an active request on the part of your cheap-ass network. Your crap-can news organization. You guys are so dumb, you can't keep Howard Stern's people off the air, man. You cats are so stupid that even when you are covering a news story that involves fatalities, Captain Jenks gets through the line and does a plug for Howard's show. That's how bad you people are at reporting the news. It's hysterical if you think about it. You guys couldn't cover... Man, I tell you what. I don't think you'd cover an anthill with a napkin. So along comes your bright idea, the iReporter. Yeah, you know what? Anybody that's got half a brain, they saw that one coming last week. That basically means the following. We just can't be at all places at all times. So tell you what we'll do is we'll have you, the reporter out there, you, Mr. and Mrs. America, with your little video cameras. And the thing that always stunned me wasn't so much that they had the gall to ask for it. It's that the American people never really grasped what it was they were being asked to do. And no one ever really said, no, I want money for this, right? Like everybody runs for their camera and they send this crap in and they say, oh, thank you for airing it. Yes, we're going to use your videotape. Aren't you lucky? Do you understand how ridiculous that is? We're going to use your videotape. Aren't you lucky? No. This is how it's supposed to work. Here, I got some videotape for you. Want it? Yes, of course. We'll actually mention... No. You're not going to mention any names. You're going to pay me. It's going to cost. I'm telling you, it makes me laugh. And in this day and age of a recession... In this day and age where we have the kind of economy that we've got, for anybody to send news tape to CNN or Fox or any other news agency that openly and actively solicits for that news tape and you don't demand money for it, boy, you're dumber than you look. You're dumber than I look. So CNN... And by the way, this file transfer that we're doing so I can get this story about CNN, it's still going on. This is incredible. This is unbelievable. This is part and parcel of this operation, folks. Let me tell you what. But in any event, CNN is now suing this man for claiming that he works for CNN. You know something? You got to be the cheapest creeps that God ever allowed past the cradle. Here's a guy that, you're using his videotape. Let him have the good time and the fun and the momentary whatever it is that he gets out of it, the momentary reputation of saying, yeah, I'm a reporter for CNN. Big deal. Otherwise, were I advising him, I'd say, you know what? They're going to sue you, so you're going to have to stop saying this. You agree that you stop saying this, right? Right, I agree. Okay. But what we should do is go on a worldwide tour and tell everybody the next time that CNN asks you for videotape or asks you for tape of anything, you charge their asses big. Big time, okay? Otherwise, you're taking it over to Fox because you hear they're paying over at Fox and they're paying pretty good, too. Now, that's the way to do that, okay? Otherwise, they're just going to keep on stealing from you. And I'm telling you, in a recession... It's the only way to do things. It's the only way to go, baby. It's the only way to fly. All right. We got a few minutes for our stories we couldn't get to here tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. Police say a third grader in Pennsylvania handed out more than 60 small bags of heroin to his classmates before his teacher discovered them. Shoot. Wilkinsburg police say the 8-year-old brought the bags to Turner Elementary School on Tuesday. At a news conference on Wednesday, police said some of the bags were found empty in a trash can, but there was no evidence the kids had ingested the drugs. Police say the bags were stamped with the words, "Trust me." School officials sent a letter home to parents about the incident. Police are investigating how the boy got the drugs. Maybe he got them from his folks, do you think? Wilkinsburg is about 5 miles east of Pittsburgh. In Rock Hill, South Carolina, police in South Carolina say an argument between two motel guests ended when one of the men was hit in the head with a snake. Rock Rock Hill police say the victim told officers he argued Tuesday night with 29-year-old Tony Smith over loud music coming from Smith's room. The dispute appeared to be over, but the man told police Smith walked up to him several hours later with a 4-foot python and hit him in the face with the snake's head. Smith surrendered the snake to family members before police handcuffed him and took him to jail. And finally, in Dallas, Texas, a suburban Dallas man must serve 15 days in jail after admitting to stuffing a lead weight into a bass that he caught during a fishing tournament. A Texas Park and Wildlife Department spokesman told the Dallas Morning News that Robbie Rose must also surrender his fishing license. That's after the 45-year-old man pled guilty to felony attempted theft after admitting to rigging the fish. Good try there, Robbie. Not a bad try, man. World-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico. And don't forget, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.